Everybody from Nashville, welcome. Just let you know that somebody's making faces at me because I didn't turn the microphone on. Welcome to the Main Street the Main Street Church of Christ, the worship hour. Just let you know and remind you that if you're visiting this morning, you are our honored guest. And our sole purpose this morning is simply to preach the Word of God. We do it because we love you. Because we understand that the Word of God is what sets us free. The Word of God is that which will continue to bind us to Christ, to God. See, it is our understanding from the Word of God that by abiding in it, we continue to be saved even after death. So knowing this, let's go to the book of Colossians. It's not our subject this morning, but something that we must read because it's very important. And I have a very brand new Bible that's very sticky. So I have to do it page by page so that it'll unstick and get to the subject here. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 25 through 28, reads this way. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which has been hid from ages, from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God should make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Once you know that, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, our subject for today. I praise you not. That is a comment from our brother Paul to the church at Corinth, for the simple reason that they were having a lot of fun. They were having a darn good time. But there was a big problem about having a good time in Corinth. The brethren were not exactly in line with that which Paul taught them. And so Paul uses the command, I praise you not. Why did he say that? We will acknowledge. So let us go to the Word. Beginning at verse 17, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This is what Paul has to say to the church at Corinth. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together, not for the better, but for the worse. Now can you imagine a church of Jesus Christ coming together for the worse instead of for the better? What was wrong with these people? What is their big problem? See, at the beginning of the chapter, Paul acknowledges that they're doing a good job. He says, I praise you. But now, beginning in verse 17, he says, I praise you not, for you come together not for the better, but for the worse. What's wrong with these people? What are they doing that's wrong? What are they doing that is not in line with the Word of God? As we studied weeks ago, understand that to this point, the brethren, they didn't have the whole knowledge of God. They didn't have all the understanding. They didn't have all the Bible as we have it today. They didn't have the New Testament. It hadn't been written yet. Part of it had, but not all of it. They knew only in part. And so by knowing in part, then something is missing. These brethren knew about the Lord's Supper, but they were doing something wrong. Let's continue. For first of all, verse 18. Well, let's go back to 17. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. So Paul says, I acknowledge that there is division among you, and I believe part of it. So what kind of division was there among the brethren at Corinth? There is an unknown division, a problem that Paul acknowledges, and he wants it corrected. He wants these brethren to know what they're doing wrong. He wants them to get it straight. And so he says, when you come together as a church, it's not for the better, but it's for the worse. For when you come together in the church, remember, it's in the church, in the worship service. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. So there must be a division. There must be heresies. There must be a departing. There must be a parting. There must be a division. There must be something to acknowledge those that are doing the right thing and those that are doing the wrong thing. You see? This has to happen. This division has to happen. Because you see, in doing so, then we can acknowledge who is doing the right thing and who is doing the wrong thing. There must be heresies among you. When you come together, therefore, verse 20, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. So Paul acknowledges that they're coming together in the church, but not to eat the Lord's Supper. So what are they doing? Remember from the beginning, they're having a lot of fun. They're having a good time. They're having a darn good time in the church. But there is a division. There is a problem that they have to acknowledge. Why does Paul say that I praise you not in this? What is the problem? What is the division? What do we call it? So he goes on to say, for in eating, verse 21, everyone taketh before another his own supper, and one is hungry and the other is drunken. Now can you believe this? In the church, they come together as church, but not to partake of the Lord's Supper, because what they're doing is not partaking of the Lord's Supper. They're breaking bread. They're drinking the fruit of the vine, but they're not partaking of the Lord's Supper. What are they doing wrong? What is the problem with the brethren in Corinth? What are they doing? They have a major problem here, because you see, in those days, when they came together, They literally had a feast, my friends. They ate and drank and really got drunk, and they ate till they, well, you know what I'm talking about. Ate too much, drank too much. So you have people here that have too much to eat, some that don't have anything to eat, some that have too much to drink, and some that have none. There is a division. What do you call that division? What would you call it if you acknowledge that there is a problem? They came together as a church, but instead of partaking of the Lord's Supper, they're having a mighty feast. Some of them are eating too much. Some of them are not enough, drinking too much. Some of them are just plain drunk. And some of them have nothing to drink. What do you call that, my friends? It was coming together to socialize. That's what they were doing. They were having a social gathering. They were eating and drinking and puking. Who knows what they were doing? But you know what happens when you get filthy drunk, right? You know what happens when you eat too much? So they were coming together. Some brethren would bring maybe a leg of lamb or whatnot. Who knows what they brought? But they were having a darn good feast. And Paul says, I praise you not, because you come together not for the better, but for the worse. In coming together, it is not to partake of the Lord's Supper. You don't bring a leg of lamb to the Lord's Supper. You don't get filthy drunk. What was wrong with these people? They were arrogant. They were vulgar. They were downright animal, mean. They were not acknowledging God's word. So Paul has to tell them exactly what he told them before. You see, it was not something that they didn't know. They just didn't know how to discern the word of God. They were doing the wrong thing when they should be doing the right thing. And so he says, verse 21, again, for in eating everyone taketh before another his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What? The question is, have ye not houses to eat and drink in? You see, you don't come over here to have a good time. You don't come over here to party. You don't come over here to socialize. This is the Lord's church. You come over here to break bread, to partake of the Lord's Supper, to hear the preaching of the gospel, to gather knowledge in this brain, in this mind, to know what's right and what's wrong. He says, or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? You see, you know what they're doing? They're shaming those that had too much, were shaming those that didn't have any. Those that had to drink were getting drunk while the others had none. I mean, this is an awful division here. And Paul says, this can't be so, my friends. This is not what the Church of Christ calls partaking of the Lord's Supper. This is together to break bread. This is not coming together as a church to partake of that commandment which we have to acknowledge in our minds and remember forever as long as we live. No, this is totally incorrect, my friends. It is not acceptable. And he says, for I have received, and we all know this, and so did they, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And see, here's another bit of information. Paul is saying, same time, that same night, in which he broke bread, that same night in which he was betrayed. There is something here that they have to acknowledge. The same day, the same time, the same night in which he was betrayed, he broke bread and he gave to them. And he says that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So we are to remember that Jesus Christ went to the cross. But before that, he was beaten severely. I mean, his body was totally destroyed. Did anybody see The Passion of Christ, the movie? It is a portrayal of something that's very true. I mean, getting whipped to the point where there is almost no blood left in your body, being cut up so severely and live, that's totally amazing. But Jesus Christ did it. He did it for the purpose of you, of me, for your salvation, for my salvation, so that we wouldn't have to go through the burden of being condemned to that particular way of doing things. You see, you don't have to go through that. You don't have to be punished. You don't have to be punished to the point that you hurt spiritually, you see. For the body is just the body. It has to separate from the soul. Death means separation. When you die, your body separates from your soul. The spirit that's in the body goes back to God. The body goes to the grave. And the inner man goes to Hades. And you wait for judgment. But Jesus Christ doesn't want you to go through all that. So he made it easy for you. He went to the cross. He shed his blood. Let his body be broken, destroyed. Then he died. Then he was buried. But God resurrected him, or he resurrected himself the third day. And then, having given commandments to his disciples for 40 days, he makes his ascension into heaven, where he reigns as King and Lord of all. And to him we have to acknowledge. We have to give thanks for his sacrifice, for what he did on the cross for you and I. That is why we partake of the Lord's Supper. To remember what he did for you and I, but also to thank him, to give thanks to the Lord for what he did for us. So we won't have to go through that ourselves. We don't have to be condemned. He's already paid the price. And he says in his very words by Paul, "After the same manner, also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. Do ye, as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me.'" So he takes the cup and he says, "Drink, take. Do this as often as you come together in remembrance of me." What are we to remember? His sacrifice. But not only remember, give thanks to the Lord for what he did for you and I. That is why we come together in remembrance of him. If your heart and mind are not prepared to give thanks to God for what he did for you, then you have no business partaking of the Lord's Supper. Because he comes down and he says something very harsh, very, very true though. Wherefore, verse 27, whosoever shall eat the bread, this bread, and drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. So if you partake of the Lord's Supper unworthily, you are guilty of the blood and the body of Jesus Christ. You come together to give thanks, to remember His sacrifice. That's all that should be in your mind when you come together as church. That is the most important thing that's in your mind, that should be in your mind. Don't worry about what text or your telephone or what your neighbor has to do this evening or what movie you're going to see tonight or whether the Dallas Mavericks are on or the Texas Rangers are playing. That is not the purpose why we come together. You should blot all that stuff out of your mind. The only reason we're together is to break bread, to partake of the Lord's Supper, to remember Him and His sacrifice, and to give thanks for it. That is the reason and the purpose why we should come together as a church. Anything else, my friends, is beside the point. If it's in your mind when you come here, then you are partaking of the Lord's Supper unworthily. And what are you doing to yourselves? Before that, we'd like to encourage our radio audience to go to www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com or call us at 214-821-2123 if you have any questions regarding the preaching of Jesus Christ. For our purpose is to communicate that knowledge to you. And now, verse 29, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. You see, if you partake of the Lord's Supper unworthily, you bring to yourself damnation. That is not very nice, is it? That's not very good. My friends, we're here for a purpose. We're here to worship God. Your cell phones should be off. There shouldn't be no ding-a-lings out there from your radio cell phones that are ringing every 5 minutes or so. Because you forgot to turn it off or because you want to listen to it because somebody's going to call you. In fact, you ought to just throw them outside and leave them. Well, the purpose of coming here is not to listen to your cell phones. It's not to chit-chat with your brother or your friend. That is not the purpose of coming together as church. We're not here to socialize, my friends. We're here to worship God. We're here to partake of the Lord's Supper. And I'm not pointing fingers, but every time I sit down at the pew, I hear behind me somewhere on the side, bleep, 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 you know, cell phones going on, people talking about what tomorrow, what today, or whatever. And they're supposed to be listening to the Word of God. They're supposed to be discerning the Word of God. They're supposed to be prepared in their hearts and their minds to partake of the Lord's Supper. To acknowledge, to give thanks to God. And that is why we come together as church. And he says, when you come together as church, you come together for the partaking of the Lord's Supper. Otherwise, here's what he says. Wherefore, whosoever, verse 27, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, verse 28. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Examine yourselves. Why are you here this morning? There should be only one thing in your mind. And that is to give thanks to God for sending Jesus Christ to die on the cross. The shedding of the blood, that mighty blood that saves you day and night. For his dying on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. That by doing so, you may have eternal life. The forgiveness of your sins, for that's where it began. For if you have not the forgiveness of your sins, then you have eternal life, but not in God, you see? And he has given you that opportunity by doing so, by dying on the cross. He has given you the opportunity for eternal life in God. You know why we say in God? Because if you are in Jesus, you are in God. If you're a member of the body of Christ, you are in God. Jesus Christ is God, my friends. And if you are his body, then you're a member of Jesus Christ, which is God. And the phrase that I use very much is the Holy of Holies, the high priest. The high priest is the only individual that God allows to enter the Holy of Holies. And if you're a member of the body of Christ, you're a member of the high priest. And if you're a member of the high priest, then you have access to the Holy of Holies. In the Old Testament, it was a model of what's in the New. In the New Testament, the Holy of Holies is where God reigns, where God lives, where God abode. God's abode, that is heaven. And the high priest is Jesus Christ, according to the order of Melchizedek. And so, to enter the kingdom of God, the church, you have to be added. To enter the Holy of Holies, you have to be added to the high priest, which is Jesus Christ. And to acknowledge that, then you must come together as church to partake of the Lord's Supper in remembrance of Him. It says so right there on that little banner. Nothing else matters, my friends. It doesn't matter if you have a wedding tonight, or if you have a divorce tonight. It doesn't matter if you're going to the football game or you want to go see wrestling tonight. It doesn't matter. That should not be in your mind at all. And a lot of us may be late and not partake of the Lord's Supper because we didn't have anything to wear. You know, our shirt was not exactly ironed or pressed. Or my suit was dirty. So many excuses. If that's you and I, my friends, we don't have any business in the body of Christ. Because our job as Christians is exactly that. Be the body of Christ. Do Christ's job here on earth. Jesus Christ is preaching, is communicating the Word of God through you. You, the church. You are the ones that people will acknowledge when it comes to the truth. Denominations don't preach the truth. But the Lord does preach the truth. The body of Christ preaches the truth. The church preaches the truth. And that's why we're here this morning, to preach the truth. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it's painful. Sometimes it's downright crippling, you know. We have any peg legs here this morning? Thank you. Anyway, the purpose is that you acknowledge and understand the reason why we come together as a church. Give thanks to the Lord. for what he has done for us. Verse 30. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. You see, because you partake of the Lord's Supper unworthily, he says, for this cause, many are sickly. That's something to acknowledge, isn't it? For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many are already dead, because they have passed judgment upon themselves by not acknowledging Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. What are we doing? The thing we haven't really done is we haven't parted from the world yet. And that's what we have to do as Christians. We have to part from the world. Not do away with it, just part from it. In other words, don't do worldly things. Do those things that are godly. Those things that are holy. Those things that are good. Those things that are worthy. Those things that are honorable. Those things that bring you peace and harmony with God and not judgment. That is what Paul wants you to know and understand. Verse 34. Well, let's go and read 33. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. When you come to eat, wait for each other, my friends. That's what you call coming together. We should have one thing in mind and one thing in mind only, and that is to partake of the and the fruit of the vine, to give thanks to the Lord for what you have accomplished, and to have forgiveness of sin, to be added to the church of Christ, to the body of Christ, is an accomplishment for some of us. For some of us were drunkards. Some of us were cheaters, robbers, or whatnot. There are many sins in the world that have been forgiven. But they could only be forgiven if Jesus Christ did what he had to do. And that's to die on the cross, to shed his blood, but before that be tormented beyond what you call forgiveness. Body was shed and tore up so bad that he wasn't hardly recognizable. But after all said and done, he's resurrected from the dead. He sits at the right hand of God, reigning, acknowledging those that are his. And someday, he will arise from that throne. And you shall meet him in the clouds, in the air, to be with the Lord forever. So isn't that a good reason to come together this morning and thank the Lord for his great sacrifice? Everybody say amen.
Amen.
That is what we're here for, my friends. That is the reason why we come together as church. Not to have a darn good time eating and drinking and getting drunk. Not to have leg of lamb, but to sit down and acknowledge in understanding of the Word of God that he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, to shed his blood, to be resurrected from the dead, and to give you commandments that you can keep If you are followers of His Son, Jesus Christ. And if you're here this morning and you haven't acknowledged that we come together as church to partake of the Lord's Supper, the breaking of bread, fruit of the vine, to give back to the Lord that which He has given us in prosperity. But most of all, to thank Him for His sacrifice. Then we should all stand and say, Amen, Amen. For He is, and He deserves all the glory. And He does forever and ever. And it should be in your hearts and in your minds every time you come together to break bread. Let's give thanks to the Lord this morning. Let's acknowledge what He has done for us. And if you're here this morning, if you are a visitor, and you're not a member of the body of Christ, you have not been added to the church, you have to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The Son of God. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That He went to the cross, nailed to the cross, shed His blood. That you must believe His gospel. And in believing, you must confess that He is the Son of God. Acknowledge that in your heart and in your mind. But that you must also have forgiveness of sin. And you can only obtain it through baptism according to the Word of God. Acts 2:38. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for forgiveness of your sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then if your heart and your mind is correct, is right with God, He will add you to His body, to His church. You will be a member of that high priest which will enter the Holy of Holies on that particular day. He will come down and He will take you with Him. Be prepared. If you're not yet prepared. And if you're already prepared, thank God for it. That's what we're here this morning. To thank God for His sacrifice. For that which He has done for us. And if you're not a member, you can do it anytime you so desire. Believe in Jesus Christ. Confess Him as Lord and Savior of your life. Acknowledge that you are a sinner. Be baptized for the remission of those sins. And let the Lord add you to His body, to His kingdom, to His church. And you can do it while we sing our song of invitation. And may God bless you this morning.